Okay. That's kind of order. Go on the record. I'm Commissioner Tonola D. Brown-Blair of the North Carolina Utilities Commission, and I'm the presiding commissioner for this hearing. With me this evening are Chair Charlotte A. Mitchell and Commissioner Lance Gray. And now call for hearing docket number W-354, sub-364, in the matter of application by Carolina Water Services, Inc. of North Carolina for authority to increase rates for water and sewer utility service in all service areas in North Carolina. And docket number W-354, sub-363, in the matter of Carolina Water Service, Inc. of North Carolina for an accounting order to defer incremental storm damage expenses incurred as a result of Hurricane Florence. On June 28, 2019, Carolina Water Service, Inc. of North Carolina, hereinafter CWS or the company, filed with the Commission an application seeking authority to increase its rates for providing water and sewer utility service in all of its service areas in North Carolina. CWS seeks a 15.25% increase in water revenue and a 27.51% increase in wastewater revenues overall. The company states in its application that it seeks this increase in rates primarily to recover significant capital investment it has made in its water and wastewater systems in North Carolina since its last rate case. According to CWS, these investments were needed to replace and rehabilitate aging infrastructure, to modernize and increase efficiencies, and to recover from damage resulting from Hurricane Florence. On July 15, 2019, the Commission issued an order establishing general rate case and suspending rates. On August 2, 2019, the Commission issued an order scheduling hearings that required customer notice, which, among other things, scheduled this public witness hearing for today, October 22, 2019, at this time and at this place, and scheduled an evidentiary hearing for receiving expert witness testimony beginning on December 2, 2019, at 2 o'clock p.m. in Raleigh. Prior public hearings have been held in Charlotte, Manteo, Boone, Asheville, and Raleigh. On August 22, 2019, Corolla Light Community Association, Inc. filed a petition to intervene in this matter, which was granted by commission order issued September 5, 2019. The intervention and participation of the public staff, who represents the using and consuming public, is recognized pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 62-15D and Commission Rule R1-19E. The Commission has received a number of consumer statements of position regarding the company's application. Those letters have been filed in the docket in this matter. Pursuant to the State Government Ethics Act, I remind members of the Commission of our duty to avoid conflicts of interest and inquire at this time as to whether any commissioner has any known conflict of interest with respect to this docket. The record will reflect that no conflicts were identified. I now call on the parties for their appearances for the record, starting with the company.
Good evening, Madam Commissioner. My name is Robert Bennick. I'm a lawyer in Raleigh, and I'm here tonight to represent Carolina Water Service, Incorporated of North Carolina.
Good evening, Mr. Bennick.
Good evening, Commissioners. Diana Downey on behalf of the public staff. We represent the using and consuming public. With me is Gina Castleberry from the Water Division.
All right. Good evening to all. Are there any preliminary matters before we start?
None.
All right. Before, and I take it, Ms. Downey, you have identified public witnesses who wish to testify.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Before we start there, just a few remarks about why we're here. We're pleased to be here to come and hear from the customers of CWS, and we're glad that you all can join us tonight. As you heard in the beginning of my opening statement, this case began with the company's filing an application. And in response to that, the commission paused those proposed rates, scheduled this hearing in two parts. The first part is this series of public hearings that we've gone around the state to hear from the customers. and we would like to hear your concerns, whether they be service issues or specifically about the rate increase, whatever you have to tell us. We find these to be beneficial to you and us, so that we know the impact of what we do, and also so that you may have issues resolved. Many times, company representatives will be here and they can answer some of the questions that you might have tonight. The second part of the hearing is the evidentiary hearing, which I mentioned is scheduled for December 2nd in Raleigh. And at that hearing, we hear from experts who, experts are sponsored and brought before us by the parties. The parties in this matter are the company, CWS, a public staff, as well as Corolla Light, which is a home represents a community group out in Corolla, from Corolla area. The expert witnesses who come to testify in front of us testify about accounting matters, legal matters. They often engineers, economists, accountants, professionals like that. The public staff puts on some of these witnesses. The public staff is represents the consumers and the customers. They do not work for the North Carolina Utilities Commission. They're independent, and they work on behalf of the customers. Their boss is an executive director, and they will look at the company's application, assess it, investigate it, make determinations, their own independent conclusions about whether conditions and investments are as the company has stated they are in their application. Once they come to their own opinion, they make that public, and that's known to you, and they file their opinions, usually file their opinions with us, and that'll be on our docket system available for you all to see. Now, with regard to the hearing tonight, it's in the nature, we're in a courtroom, and that's to convey that these hearings are in the nature of a court proceeding, not in the nature of a town hall or a protest meeting. The court reporter is here to take down what you have to tell us word for word. At the end, in a matter of some several days, she will create a transcript from everything that's said here tonight, and that too will be on the commission's website. You'll be able to go there and see everything that's said here tonight. The attorneys here, attorneys for public staff, attorneys for the company, will have an opportunity to ask any witness questions, and we, the commissioners, will have an opportunity to ask you questions. These questions are not so much to challenge you or to embarrass or anything like that. They're just for the purpose of making sure we've understood what it is that you have to tell us, just to clarify things. Like court proceedings, you can't turn around and ask the judge questions. We, the commissioners, are not here to answer questions tonight. But as I said, representatives of the company as well as from the public staff, they will remain after the proceeding is over here and will do their best to answer what questions they are able to tonight or to get back to you at a later time. The commission has required that the company file a report following each public hearing where they address matters that you might raise. And so that too will be filed and put in the public docket, public record. You'll be able to see it. With that said, because we've done so everywhere we go, we're trying to maintain the same process and procedures. So we've allotted a time period for each witness of 3 minutes. There's a clock here. It will count down. And when you see it get to 1 minute, I ask that you, make every reasonable attempt to try to wrap up what you have to say. I really haven't had everybody's been able to get out what they wanted to tell us in that 3 minute time, and I really hadn't had to run anybody off, so I don't expect that to be any different tonight. One other thing is if someone ahead of you says the same thing that you intended to say, repetition doesn't really count here, so you don't need to say it again. You're free to say it again, but you don't need to. You can just say, I adopt that other person's testimony, or I agree with that, or you can use the time to say, I agree with that, and I have this other additional to tell you. So that part of the choice is up to you. And now, before we get into hearing from the witnesses, Mr. Bennett has asked to have a moment to address you. What he says is an opening statement and is not evidence in the case, but he has some information he wants to make sure you hear.
Thank you, Madam Commissioner. Again, my name is Bob Bennett, and I'm the company's lawyer. I want to just take the opportunity to thank all of you for being here. The company does appreciate your attendance, and we'll listen carefully to what you have to say tonight. I want to introduce people from the company who are here tonight. They will be available after the hearing to talk with you. If you've got questions you want to ask specifically of company employees, you can do that after the hearing. And I'll ask them to stand as I announce their names. We have Bryce Mendenhall, who is the company's Vice President of Operations. Deborah Clark, who is the Communications Director. Dana Hill, who is the Regional Director. Stacy Goff, who is the lead operator, or a lead operator. Greg Spillman, a lead operator. And Matthew Golden, a lead operator. And again, we thank you for being here. I will say, again, the company has the burden of proof in this case to prove that it is entitled to the rate increase, whatever rate increase the commission ultimately may decide to allow. As the presiding commissioner has said, you can go to the commission's website, and on that website you can find and review the company's application and all of the supporting documentation that is required to submit, as well as the company's expert testimony. The public staff will file its testimony in early November. That will be on the website, and then to the extent there is disagreement between the company and the public staff, the company will have an opportunity to file rebuttal testimony. And there again, that will be on the website for you to review. And that's the testimony that will be presented at the evidentiary hearing in Raleigh. And with that, I'll conclude my statement. Thank you again for coming.
Okay, Ms. Downey, do you have anything you would like to say before we call it?
No, ma'am.
All right, and you may call your first witness.
Danny Connor. Would you please state your name for the record, please?
My name is Dan Connor, CEO of NPR.
Would you?
Just a moment, just be sure. You got the rings on.
It's not me.
Everybody take the opportunity to be sure you silence your phone.
Mr. Connor, would you please spell your last name, please?
C-O-N-N-E-R.
And your address, please?
231 Long John Silver Drive. That's Wellington, 28411.
And Connor, if you could move the microphone so it'd be closer to you.
Okay.
And you might have to move closer to me.
How's that?
And that's in the Treasure Cove subdivision, as I understand?
Correct.
Please proceed with your statement.
To begin with, I oppose all the proposed increases and changes outlined in the document. The monthly meter water service based facility charges, usage charges. They have been asking for an increase at every opportunity, but there is nothing going on in the neighborhood that would justify any increases. The storm reserve fund. I have a storm reserve fund that's a savings account and insurance. They need to take it out of their profits. I've never had anybody give me money for it. The reconnection fee is, the proposal is outrageous. The North Carolina utility rule says it shall be no more than 15, except when the utility proves the actual reasonable cost for restorative services greater. Their rate is currently 27, increasing to 42. They tell me that their employee is 15 minutes away, so I find that hard to justify that increase. They plan to implement proposed rates on the 28th of January if the commission enters final order. I request that the commission make a expedited decision and deny the increases before that due date. What brought me to my last problems with them was May 30th, when we lost all water pressure and water in less than 30 minutes. And after that, I sent a series of questions to CWS on June 13th. The last response I had from them was June 18th. They never answered any questions. Finally, on August the 2nd, I sent a complaint to the Utilities Commission, and Ms. Sarah Cummins was able to get a reply from them on the 21st of August. Some of the questions were answered, some were ignored. One answer didn't even relate to the question. So based on that, I sent another email to them with the remaining questions, and I did not get a reply to that until I had to go back to the Utilities Commission. The outage, they told me, was caused by someone ran into a transformer. The transformer is very close to the road. It's unprotected. I asked if there were any plans to move the transformer and protect it. They said it's not a CWS asset, so it would be up to me to contract the electrical provider for response. I think it's their problem. I enclosed pictures in the exhibit. I asked if there are permanent operational generators on both wells. I asked it two times. It's a simple yes, no answer. It was never answered. I'm unable to see a generator on well number two, so my guess there is there's not one. When we had that outage on May 30th, if there was a backup, well number two should have come on because the power was on to the entire neighborhood, everything except for the well number one. It did not. So clearly, if there's a backup, it doesn't work. They said they have portable generators that can be deployed when needed, like for hurricanes, but that is probably a little bit out of date with hurricanes like Florence and Wilmington and Dorian in the Bahamas, where they last for 3 days or more. I asked how many residences are currently connected and how many is designed to service. They said it's designed for 300 with approximately 296 connected. There is no way to prove these numbers since their data is private. I think they've exceeded capacity, which is probably why we have such low flow and drain the system so quickly. They continue to say that the average family of four uses 4,000 gallons a month. There's no way that's possible. There are two adults in my house. We have every energy saving feature there is. And in the last 2 years, we've averaged 5,700 gallons a year. The people around me, with four people in the house, two adults, two children, are running 7,000 to 8,000. So my only guess is they use that 4,000 figure to keep from having everybody going to shock when they see the increases proposed. I question why the fire hydrants weren't in service. They were in service when I moved to the neighborhood. They say now they're for flushing only. Well number one is in a flood zone. They came back telling me it was not, although I have three flood maps and a flood certification that says it is. I asked about the high mineral and sediment content. They said that the neighborhood would have to pay for it with a cost of up to $1.2 million. And I asked about testing for PFAs, since we now have PFAs in Cape Fear Public Utility wells within about 3 miles on either side of us. They said it's not required by DEQ, so they tested it one time, but that's it.
Okay.
All of this has been sent to the Utilities Commission.
All right. Any questions?
No.
From the Commission?
No questions.
Questions from the Commission? All right. Thank you, Mr. Carr, for coming out.
Ralph Tritico.
Do you solemnly sincerely swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and none but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
All right, please be seated.
And my name is Ralph Trico.
Listen, Mr. Downey, ask you the question.
Please state your name and spell your last name, please.
My name is Ralph Trico, T-R-I-P-I-C-O.
And what's your address, please?
1100 Kia Court, Fairfield Harbor, North Carolina.
Please proceed with your statement.
I have a couple issues. This proposed this for this late pilot program, I don't know how CWS can accomplish this. When they don't have any automatic monitoring of their water meters. They have a man walking around reading the meters. Sometimes they get red, sometimes they don't. In fact, I just looked at my bill for last month. There's no reading for September. So I don't know how they propose to accomplish this without having some kind of automatic metering on their water meters. There's some other issues that I appeared before the commission in New Bern. The issue regarding chlorine or lack of in the water. We get these slugs of chlorine and then nothing for 2 or 3 weeks. There are other people in the development that have too much chlorine. I don't know how they're putting the water, chlorine in the water. I don't know if they're injecting it or if they're just dumping it in or whatever. It's not consistent. That's the bottom line. The issue regarding rust in the water, it's there. It's still there. There haven't been any improvements. I bought some more filters with me. This is a brand new filter. This is a filter. We were away for almost 21 days. This filter has, it has 21 days of use at 58 gallons per day per their number, 1,218 gallons, and it's already red. Now, 6-7 years ago, I could change the filter every 3 months. Now I have to do it every month, or I get bleed through. The other issue is regarding the rate increase. Fairfield Harbor was devastated by Florence. We have people still not in their homes. I have a neighbor that's 98 years old. He's not in his house, but he's paying for water service. That's not right. That's absolutely not right. The commission, CWS has requested rate increases that I know of that I've documented since 2013, up through 2019 currently. Every rate increase up until they filed one in, they were granted one in 13, they requested one in 15, they got it in 16, and so forth and so on, okay? Where's the improvement in the service? We're paying for something it's not getting improved. It's the same. And I don't understand where the money's going. And this fund that they want for emergencies, it should come from profits. It should come out of profits. It's a part of doing business, the cost of doing business. Now, I don't know what the regulations are. I don't know, you know, what the state allows, what the commission doesn't allow. I know they're on a monopoly, and they're controlled as a monopoly. But we're, in our community, we're not seeing any improvements. The only time we get anything done is when somebody breaks the water meter. They did, granted, put new control systems in on some of the sewer lift stations as a result of Florence. But the stuff that was in there was way outdated. And it's part of doing business. It's part of their responsibility to maintain the system.
Mr. Trico, are you able to wrap up yet?
They're not doing it. That's about all I have.
All right, Ms. Downey, do you have any questions, Mr. Trudeau?
No, ma'am.
No questions.
Mr. Trudeau, questions from the commission? I got just a couple. You indicated that you had some bills where there were no meter readings. Is that something that's common?
The last bill I got, they have a graph that shows monthly usage, and in September, there was no bar on September. Why? I don't know. I know that the usage was substantially down. I think it was 1,300 some gallons because we weren't home for almost 2.5 weeks.
So the bar was missing. Was it a numerical equivalent or an ounce?
You know, there was a number for usage, okay, for the current period. Now, sometimes there will be a number in there, okay? Makes no sense whatsoever because they haven't. They guessed at the previous number, and then the man came around and needed read the meter. That doesn't happen all. They don't read the meter all the time, every month. They miss it.
Is that a common occurrence, or is
maybe three times a year, four times a year, at the most. Okay. Here's the thing. Okay, if they're going to improve the system, they got digital readers that they can put on those meters. And most utilities have them. They don't.
Yeah,
I don't mind paying increases if we're going to get something for it.
Right, I was just going to ask you, understand that an advanced meter is more expensive.
Sure, show me the improvement and I'll pay for it. I don't have a problem with that, but we're not seeing improvement. And quite frankly, for them to charge what they're charging for people that aren't in their homes, or they're still living in trailers, that's not right.
And that's as a result of the storm.
Of Florence. We're over a year now.
And another question I had, sure, with regard to the filter, what's the cost of the filters?
Filters are about $5.
So you put a new one on once a month?
Now, yeah. Plus the water softener. Plus the RO system that I have so I can drink the water.
So that's your own filtration system?
Yes, it's my own fault. It's really what I'm doing and what a lot of people in Fairfield Harbor are doing should be done by a water company.
How old is your system?
The RO system is, I changed that membrane, it's probably 5 years old. And there's an RO filter membrane and two other filters on that. I have a primary filter, which is what you saw there, and it's a 5-micron filter. Very effective. I have a filter, that's pre-filter, I have a post-filter after the softener. That's in there 9 months, it's still new white. So the filtering system is working.
All right, what's the, if you recall, do you recall the cost figure on your RO system?
Yeah, it was about, originally it was about $1,800. And the softener system was close to $2,000. Now that's 28 years old. It's been worked on twice. I'm not going to do a pitch for the manufacturer, but they're super.
All right. Any questions? My question.
And the other thing, the chlorine is another issue. Again, I don't know how they're injecting the chlorine into the system or where they're doing it, but it's not consistent. And that's a real problem. I mean, when you look at a toilet bowl and you clean the toilet bowl thoroughly, and a week later you got black mold around the top of the rim, that's a problem. Okay. Because that's in the water.
Well, Mr. Trudeau, I would encourage you one to speak with the representatives here before you leave, and perhaps they can provide some answers, and even if not, they will be filing a report about what you had to say here tonight, and you can look back and see what...
The guys on site, they do a pretty good job. But I will say this, okay, I have a fire hydrant in front of my house. It's that particular hydrant is for flushing only, supposedly. It's 4-inch main. I sent a letter when the commission requested comments and all. I made a comment on the internet about the hydrant not being flushed for, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, maybe a little longer. It was interesting. 2 days later, the hydrant was being flushed. Yeah, it needs to be done. I mean, that would bring some more. Well, we're on a dead end. We're at the end of the pipeline. So that's a problem in itself, which, you know, people can't do anything about that unless they have a certain way.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Trevor. Thanks.
Thank you.
Jay Kraft. Please state your name and spell your last name for the record.
My name is James C. Kraft. My last name is spelled K-R-A-F-T.
And your address, please?
215A Reserve Green Drive, Morehead City, North Carolina, 28557.
And that's in Brandywine, right?
That is correct.
Please proceed with your statement.
My family and I arrived in Carter County 42 years ago, and we're now in our fourth residence. The first three residents were served by Wells, and then the most recent one is now served by the water company. The Wells were the only treatment that they received was water softeners, and the water from the Wells in this area is excellent. The water from the water company is not excellent. It contains a lot of sediment, and the pressure varies, etc. I have yet to figure out how a water treatment company can take perfectly good well water and ruin it. The water is also, as the previous witness stated, has causes stains. We have a neighborhood website that people can post things on for sale, lost pets, things like that. And several weeks ago, a new resident posted that their water was yellow. And did anybody else have that problem? The poster got 8 comments, all of which replied in the affirmative. They had sediment, and we ourselves do have sediment from time to time, especially when we leave for a period of time. When we come back, the water in the toilet for some reason has turned kind of an orangey pink color, and we haven't put anything in the toilets either. My main concern with this request is over costs. The company currently charges a monthly rate. This is a base rate of $73.84. That's water and sewer combined. This is roughly 75% of our normal monthly water bill of around $100 to $110 per billing cycle. This is upside down. We could be gone for a full month during one billing cycle and come back having used zero water and get a bill for $73.84. Thank you very much. If the company is interested in conserving water, then the base rate should be low and the water rate should be higher so that people would save water and save money in the process. $0.27. The current combined base rate of $73.84 is an increase of 44% over 5 years. That is a compound annual rate of return of roughly 8%. During that same time frame, the CPI, Consumer Price Index, averaged about 2% a year. I recommend the commission consider this fact and not only grant no rate increase to the company this year, but also to direct the company to calculate an overage and a proposal to refund, for a refund schedule to customers for the excessive charges we have had over the last 2 years. I recommend also that the company take steps to improve water quality. I have, over the last 4 years, I have reviewed the Carolina Water Service Brandywine for Brandywine Bay, and each year there is at least one, and on one occasion two, items that they measure that were out of limits. We were never notified about that, that I know of. And I think my time is up, so I'll close with that. I'll close with this comment. I recommend the company take steps to improve their water quality, reduce sediments, notify customers when steps are taken, and the planned implementation of steps. Too many customers, including us, have had, customers have been overcharged for an inferior product for years by a regulated monopoly over which we have no control other than the North Carolina Public Utilities Commission. It is time for the commission to do its job and regulate this monopoly to the benefit of the North Carolinians that they serve. Thank you.
Any other questions?
No.
No questions.
Any questions from the commission? Chair Mitchell.
Previously communicated your concerns over water quality to the company? No, I have not, but I have communicated it to the Public Utilities Commission twice.
Through public comment or House of...
No, via an email to Ms. Castor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Craig. You just coming in.
John Gumbel. Please state your name and spell your last name for the record.
It's John Gumbel, and it's G-U-M-B-E-L.
And your address, please?
I'm at 107 Boris Lane, New Bern.
And that's in Carolina Pines?
It is.
Please proceed with your statement.
Like you just mentioned, my name is John Gumbel. I'm a retired Marine colonel, and I'm going to speak fast if all I have 3 minutes. I live in the Carolina Pines area of Creighton County between the cities of New Bern and Havelock and charge a uniform flat rate for sewer. I have a bachelor's degree in economics from UCLA, a master's in systems analysis from the Naval Postgraduate School, a master's in national resources strategy from the Industrial College of the Armed Forces. Rate increases in utilities touch on some facets of all three of those degrees. If handed this rate increase request as a study in any of those classes for those degrees, my conclusion would have been the same as it is today, which is to deny the increase and roll back the rates instead. I mentioned that my degree is in economics. Unfortunately, economists use numbers to explain their points, and I'm going to have to use a lot of numbers here. Please bear with me. I think I feel strongly enough about this issue that I skipped dinner to drive here from up there, and I'm missing game one of the World Series, so I can feel strongly about this issue. I strongly object to the proposed 37.43% increase in the uniform flat rate for sewer as excessive, Given a 10-year history of increases in the uniform flat rate, no increase in the rate is currently justified when the rate is compared with increases in the CPI over the same period of time. Rate increases have already been 3.9 times the increase in the CPI over the last 10 years, even without this proposed increase. If anything, rates should be rolled back. I moved my present home in August of 2005. I got a history of the rates over that period, and I did send this to you ahead of time by email, but 05 to 09, 3313. 09 to 11, March 11, 4206. April 11, April 14, 4014. May 14 to July 14, 5645. August, and it goes on and on and on until where we hit the present rate, which is 5782. There was one rate increase during that period in July 14 where it was increased 40%, but was deemed to be improperly approved by the commission and was rolled back to 4470, which was still an 11.3% rate increase, which of course was still excessive. So right now we're looking at a proposal for a 37.43% increase, so nearly that 40% increase that was rolled back. If I use the Bureau of Labor Statistics CPI calculator, I find that the 3313 inflated from September 05 when I moved in that house to August 2019 has a value of 4276. So using the CPI and just taking that rate that I was paying, inflating it, it comes to 4276. Okay, if I inflate the same 3313 from July 2009, which is the last time I paid that rate, to August 2019, its value is $39.47. So the current rate of $57.82 is a $24.69 increase from the Uniform Flat Rate Pursuer from the rate I paid in July of 2009. That $24.69 increase represents a 390% increase, compounded increase. The 2469 increase is 309% of the compounded increase in the CPI measured from July 09 to July 19, so basically 10 years. So the CPI increase in that 10-year period, what we've done with the rates in the utilities, is 3.9 times what the CPI increase has been, 390%. There's no way for a utility or utility commission to justify a rate increase that's 3.9 times the CPI over 10 years, investment or no investment. If the rate increase is allowed to increase to the proposed $79.46, the percent of increases as measured from July 09 to August 2019 will be 1,253% of the compounded CPI increase. That's 12 and a half times what the CPI increase is. How could you justify that? How could you justify over a 10-year period that we would pay 12 and a half times the increases in the CPI?
Mr. Gunway, you need to eat?
I'm not there. One paragraph left. Not only should there be a rate increase, but there should be a rate decrease to bring the rates more in line with inflation. I strongly recommend that the Utilities Commission advocate for the consumer and not for the utility, and reject this excessive increase in its entirety. I note that the last time the utility granted an excessive increase, which was 40% in May of 2014, which was later found to be invalid and rolled back in August of 2014. Any questions?
All right. Any questions for us?
No questions.
Any questions for the commission? All right, thank you. Mr. Gunn, you were able to get through everything you had there, or did you
want to? Yeah, I know it's a little rushed, but it's a lot of numbers. If it's rushed, you can copy that if you put it in. But, one more thing is, and I think we've all seen this where there's requests for extremely large increases, and then the commission will roll them back, but it doesn't roll back enough. So the last time it happened was a 40% increase. It got rolled back to an 11% increase, which was excessive. So I'm hoping not to see that from the commission this time, that we're looking at this 37.43% big request for increase in these sewer rates, so they're not just rolled back to 11, because as you heard me, we're already running 390% of the CPI increase over the last 10 years. 390%.
All right, Mr. Gilman, thank you.
Dave Stevenson. Please state your name and spell your last name, please.
My name is David Stevenson. My last name is Stevenson.
And your address, please?
903 Caroline Court, and that's Fairfield Harbor. That's New Bern, 28560.
Thank you. Please proceed with your statement.
I'm here, and as a matter of fact, there are three of us here at the request of the POA board from Fairfield Harbor. I'm carrying a message that relates to the cost and an increase in rates. One of the things that bothers me is I look at page 2 of the appendix of this docket, 354 sub 364. It describes that CWS is now going to generate a reserve fund. It is also clear from just walking around the community that they've had to make repairs from Hurricane Florence. The thing that concerns me is this statement implies, and perhaps I can be refuted on this, implies that they had no insurance for flood insurance, and they had no reserve. It's good that they're finally getting to it. But I'd like to make the point that this community has suffered a lot. And I want to bring up something that this is not a sympathy request. This is just a fact. If you've never lived through something like a Florence, you know, a real disaster, you don't have any real concept of what the community's been going through. And you're going to have a rate increase, which is based upon costs from the flood, which is like salt in a wound to people who are still not in their home. One of them is here tonight. And I'll give you this point. If we hadn't carried flood insurance on our properties, which for the community is just about universal, if we hadn't, you wouldn't have anybody to sell water to. There'd be a lot of bankruptcies. There are several anyways. There's some houses that have been leveled to nothing, some that are being raised, some that are being sold at a great discount to be rebuilt and by somebody else can fit. That's my major point. My major point is I don't see how you can justify any of the rate increase proposed in this letter, which is dated August the 3rd, when you haven't made any provision to deal with this disaster. And we have. There's a lot of quality issues, and I'm not going to deal with it because the other two gentlemen, one's already spoken, will deal with it. I'd like to say, at least in the behalf of CWS, water service has not really stopped during the hurricane, at least from my perspective. But I cannot, in good conscience, accept a rate increase at any time in this proposed in this August 3rd memo under the circumstances when I don't really feel that the company has good business practices. You know, we maintain reserves in the community, we have insurance, and we can deal with this to the best of our ability. And my proposal is the rate of the increase is totally reduced to nothing. There's no rate increase as proposed in August 3rd. That's the primary point I have.
All right, any questions for Mr. Stevenson?
No.
Thank you. Questions from the company? Mr. Bennett?
No question.
Questions from the commission? All right, thank you, Mrs. Stevenson.
Irving Jaffe. Please state your name and spell your last name, please.
My name is Irving Jaffe, J-O-F-F-E-E.
And your address, please?
My legal address is 1014 Pelican Drive, New Bern, North Carolina, 28562.
And that's in Fairfield Harbor,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
Please proceed with your statement.
I stated that as my legal address because I'm one of those people that still am not yet living back in my home because I was flooded out because of Florence. And I have a few statements regarding that. I would like the commission to address, to consider this rate increase in terms of three things. One, in terms of the quality of the water that we receive and the services we receive. A lot of that's been addressed already. Also, with regard to the way, the lack of regard in many ways that CWS has for the community that it serves. And I will address that point. And also, with regard, I'd like the commission to address the efficiency with which CWS uses its resources in terms of the request to continually raise the rates in which they do. A number of people have addressed the water quality. I could say more. I did a few years ago in the hearing. I am an expert in filtration and filter products, and I know that the quality of the water is not good. Right now, I'm living in Trent Woods because I've been flooded out of my house and it's not yet rebuilt. There is no water purifying system in the house that I'm living in right now, and the water, we use the water as it comes right out of the pipe. It's clear, there's no color to it, there's no chlorine odor to it, there's no sulfur odor to it, it does not stain our clothes when we wash with it. It's fine. It's the city of New Bern water. Now, with regard to the cost, I'm not an expert in economics, so I can't review the efficiency of operations of CWS, but what I can tell you is some of the rates that I pay for water. It's relatively similar to the rates that we pay for the New Bern water, and I happen to own a condominium, it's actually a townhouse, in Lewis, Delaware, and I would like to, my daughter pays the water bill, so I don't have a water bill for it, but I pay the sewer tax, and I'd like to tell you that Fairfield Harbor right now, without the proposed rate increase, there's a minimum sewer usage fee of about $50 per month. This is my last bill for sewer usage on my townhouse in Lewis, Delaware. It's $81 for the quarter.
How much?
$81. Actually, the last bill was $81.40 for the last quarter. That's 3 months. So that's less than $30 a month for sewage. And I noticed it is a townhouse, and this is built assessed by square footage, as most apartments and townhouses are. And I noticed that in the proposed rate increase for apartments, Hawthorne and the Green Apartments, it says on page 3 out of 5 of Appendix A-2, the current building rate is $50.46, and the proposed rate is to $55.66. Quite a bit more than what Lewis, Delaware is charging me for sewage. With regard to how I feel that the fairness or lack of fairness with which CWS does relate to the community, look, I'd like to give you an example. CWS was very good after Florence, because I turned my water, I have been turning the water off They shut the water off after the storm, and I was told at that time that because it was due to the storm, I would not have to pay a reinstatement fee, which they told me was going to be $50 to reinstate the service when I finally get back into the house or have to turn the water back on. Well, they started raising my house. I was forced to elevate my house, and they began to do that in June. And in preparation, actually, they started at the end of March, beginning of April, to elevate the house. And we had to get the masons in there to start building the foundation. So I had to have the water turned back on. Okay, so the water was turned on. I had to pay the minimum monthly charge, which is again about roughly $50 a month. And the water usage, of course, was minimal, far below any normal usage, because all it was used for was the masons tapped into the house, tapped into the water line right at the meter, and they put a spigot in there so they could use the water to mix the mortar with. And that was all it was used. Of course, nothing went down the drain, because there was no drain, because the house was elevated at the time. The house was totally separate from the sewer system. The house was not connected to the sewer system at all, nor was it connected to the water system. So all the water went to the making mortar and did not go down the drain. There was no drain. I just want to finish this one. I called the customer service, CWS, and when I got the first bill, I said, you know, my bill includes $50 for sewer service. I said, my house is not even connected to the sewer at this time. I said, I'd like to see if I can pay my water bill, but not have to pay for sewer service because I have no sewer. And the customer service told me, yes, I'm sure if you talk to the supervisors and the management, they'll take it off the bill for you. You won't have to pay for that if you're not connected. So I did call back. I spoke to the supervisors and their management, and then I was promptly told there's absolutely no way. Too bad if I'm not connected to the sewer. I have to pay for the sewer service anyways, no matter what. And I thought that was just outrageous. And I'm still not connected to the sewer. I will be soon. Hopefully, I'll be able to get back into my house next month. But at this point, I'm still paying the minimum water charge and paying the sewer charge. And I'm not even living in the house. So at this point, I'll finish up.
All right. Any questions for Mr. John?
No.
No questions.
Any questions for the commission? Mr. Dami Medicis. Thank you.
That was the last witness I had signed up.
All right. That was the last witness, and they will conclude with the public witness portion of this proceeding, this being the last public witness hearing in the schedule. As I indicated earlier, you can follow these proceedings, what the public staff has to say about the application of the rate increase, what the company has to say in response to what is heard here tonight. You can find all of that by going to our website, www.ncuc.net. If you put in the docket number, you will be able to follow there where you go. And the public staff and the company will be sure to help you find your way through there if you have any difficulties. Again, we appreciate you coming out tonight. The evidentiary hearing in this matter will be in Raleigh on December 2nd. And that is, you can also follow that proceeding, and the transcript from that proceeding will also be posted and be available to you online. Nothing else to come before the commission tonight? We'll be adjourned.